Well, it is good to see those of you that are out this evening. I know it is unusual circumstances with the coronavirus going around and people being afraid that they're going to contract it and get it and possibly get ill. But I thank you for coming out this evening. I hope that the lesson this evening will be worthy of your effort just to be here tonight. My sermon tonight is going to be a study of what I call spiritual collateral damage and blessings. And we're going to start here in the text in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 18. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. The last part of the verse here tells us a very sad reality, and that is the destructive power of a sinner. I've come across individuals in my life sometimes who want to live in the world, and I cannot begin to tell you how many times I've heard this said to me. Well, I'm not hurting anybody else. It's no business what I do in my life for myself. It's not hurting anyone else but me. That's not true. What I would like you to understand tonight is that there are people in the world around us, often family members, people that are extended family, and people that just know our family, and people who will come to know our family in the future. There are people we come in contact with in this world. And when we are choosing to go into sin, it can cause what I call spiritual collateral damage. Now, if you don't know what collateral damage is, I've given you a definition of it here. Collateral damage is a general term for deaths, injuries, or other damage on an unintended target. It is a military term. And the idea is that you are, for instance, sometimes sending bombs into a particular area to try to destroy and kill a particular enemy. However, if you are living close to where the bombs are, unfortunately, you may find yourself experiencing collateral damage. Your property may be damaged, or you may be killed because you are close to them. And that is what I'm trying to get across to you. Collateral damage is damage done to people in the world around us simply because they are close to us. Let me give you a verse on this from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5. And you shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Now the text here, we're dealing with the Ten Commandments and choosing not to worship idols. However, if you choose to go into idolatry and start worshiping the idols, you need to realize it's not just going to destroy you spiritually. Because you're choosing to go into this, you're going to make it more difficult for future generations. And the punishment of God, when it comes, often it will come upon one generation and continue on into the next, and the next, and the next. To where the consequences of your sin are being affected upon four generations of people who are coming from you in your family. Over in 1 Corinthians, it's put this way in chapter 5 and in verse 6. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Leaven, if you don't know, is yeast. And if you take a pinch of yeast and put it in a lump of dough, the dough that is immediately around the yeast, the dough that is touching the yeast immediately around it, is going to be affected by it. And then not only is that going to happen, but then that lump of dough that has been affected by the yeast, the dough that's touching that dough that's been infected by it, now it's going to be infected by it. That's kind of what's happening with the virus. Okay? It spreads. It goes out. It resonates. And so what we're seeing here is when you're going to choose to go into sin, yay, you need to realize this. Those that are going to be the closest to you, your family, they're going to be the ones that get hit first and hardest often by your choice to go into sin. Over in Numbers, in chapter 16, it says here in verse 24 to 26, say to the congregation, get away from the dwelling of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Then Moses rose and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him, and he spoke to the congregation, saying, "Depart, please, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs." Now notice the last part of this. The reason he tells them not to touch anything that belonged to these men is lest you be swept away with all their sins. Now, if you don't know the context of this particular text, here you have these men, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and they're basically trying to take leadership away from Moses and Aaron. And they have no authority to do this. And so they are about to be punished by God for their choice to do this sin. And notice what the text says here, get away from the dwelling places, get away from their tents, get away from these people, because if you're standing close to them, when the wrath of God comes and the punishment of God comes, you're going to find yourself being swept away. And whenever the earth opened up and started swallowing these men's possessions in their tents, it swallowed their families too. And if you were standing close to them, you went down with them. That's what I call spiritual collateral damage. Because you are close to these individuals, when they are choosing to go into sin, those that are the closest to them, your family members, your children, your husband, your wife, they're going to be the first ones to get hit the hardest. Simply because they are the closest to you. And so this idea that, well, my sins are not going to be hurting anybody else. Well, that might be true if you're a hermit living in a cave on a mountain and you're never around anybody else, okay? But that's not the way we live. We have family. We work around people. We live around people. We interact with people. And everything we're saying and everything we're doing is affecting them somehow, some way. And if we're choosing to go into sin, that choice is going to become a stumbling block to people around you. And it will be causing spiritual collateral damage sometimes to people you may not even be aware of. That they are not coming to the Lord simply because of your choices of the way you live. Now, what I want to talk with you a bit more about this is what I call the amplification and the resonation of spiritual collateral damage. Going back to 1 Corinthians 6 or 5 and verse 6, we talked about this earlier, how a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It resonates out. It starts off with just a small area, and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it just keeps going all the way out to the very end till the entire lump of dough has been affected by the yeast. Another way of thinking about this is, have you ever thrown a pebble into a pond? And you see it go into the pond. When it goes in, it goes bloop, and you see the water go up. And, it comes, and right around that, again, that's those that are closest to you. But then after it does that, what happens? Then the waves come out. And as the waves come away from where the pebble went into the pond, as they go further and further out, guess what? They get bigger and bigger in circumference. And they continue all the way until they reach the shore. That's what I'm talking about when I'm trying to explain to you the amplification of spiritual collateral damage. I'm trying to explain to you that it is not only those that are the closest to you that are going to be hurt, but then individuals that are around them are going to be hurt by it. And then individuals around them are going to be affected by it. And it continues to resonate out and amplify to where more and more people are being affected in a negative way, in a destructive way spiritually, by your choices to sin. Let me give you some examples of this. In Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verse 1. Dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. Okay, first of all, I was talking about throwing a pebble in the pond. Now instead of a pebble, let's throw a brick in the pond. And when you throw a brick in the pond, kaboosh! And what happens? The waves are bigger, aren't they? And again, as the waves go out, The circumference of it is bigger and bigger and bigger until it reaches the shore. That is what I'm talking about. Amplifying is where it's getting stronger, to where rather than fewer people being affected by it, more people are being affected by it. People you'll never even know, people you'll never even see, are being affected negatively in a destructive way spiritually by people choosing to sin. And the context here is talking about someone who's respected for wisdom and honor. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Imagine an elder choosing to go into sin, thinking he can hide it like we were talking about the other day. But what happens to sin? You know what happens to it. It always comes to the surface. And when it comes to the surface, and I've seen this happen before, where there are men who are looked up to and respected as men of wisdom, men of honor, and all of a sudden it comes out, you're living in sin, you've been a hypocrite all this time. And what happens? I know people that go, well, this is what Christianity is all about, forget it. You see, when you are someone who's looked to as an honorable man or a woman, a wise man or a woman, and you choose to go into sin, the text here talks about how the dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment. The ointment normally is a blessing, it's wonderful, but one dead fly gets into it and it ruins the whole thing. You can't just scoop out a little of it, it's all ruined. If you have a lot of influence over a lot of people, and you are choosing to go into sin, and it is in a public way, this sin that you're choosing to go into is going to cause massive destruction in the lives of multitudes of people. And when someone chooses to leave the Lord, you need to realize that's going to affect their children, their grandchildren, and everybody that comes from them till the Lord comes again. Do you see how that resonates out? When you are causing by your sin someone else to leave God, then now you're affecting the people that are going to come from them and the people in their life. And so when you're someone who touches a lot of lives and a lot of people and you have a lot of influence, the more lives you touch and have influence over, the more destructive your sin will be. Let's take it to the next step. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 5. There is evil I have seen under the sun, as an error proceeding from the ruler. An error. Sin. And who's it coming from? The king. The ruler. Now, we started off with the pebble in the pond. Then we went to the brick in the pond. Now, throw a boulder in the pond. Cannonball. Yeah. A lot of destruction. And how big are the waves? They're bigger waves, giant waves. And again, the waves, as they go out, they get bigger and all the way to the shore. They resonate, they amplify, they don't go away. That's the way sin is. It destroys much good. It doesn't just affect those that are right around it. It resonates out and touches all other lives as it continues to hit other people, and other people keep going out and out and out. And often, you'll never know these people. You'll never see them. But your choice to sin may cause them to go to hell because of your choice and how it affected somebody else. And that somebody else is going to affect their life with their family and their friends. And it just keeps on going out. And so let's give you an example of this so that you see what I'm talking about. Here is 1 Kings 11, 4 through 8. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord, as did his father David. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives who burned incense. All right. I find it very interesting. According to Scripture, The inspired man who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes is the man we're reading about here in 1 Kings 11, Solomon. What I learned from this is you can even be the instrument of the reception of the revelation, and that doesn't mean you're going to learn from it. Just because you know the truth doesn't mean you're going to live the truth. And when you choose to go into sin as Solomon did here, and he built these temples for his wives, now you need to understand, folks, you know how the worship of Molech was done? Child sacrifice. Human sacrifice. These temples were built east of Jerusalem. And when because of these temples here, later on Manasseh comes along. And Manasseh, he sacrifices his children to Molech in these temples that Solomon built. And later on, Judah goes deeply into idolatry. And you know where the seed was planted? Right here. You think about how many millions of people went into Babylonian captivity. And generation after generation that was affected by Solomon's choice. How many children were burned in the fire because of Solomon's choice? How many of the people of Judah and Israel went into idolatry and went to hell because of Solomon's choice to build these temples? So you see what I'm talking about? Our error, our sin, proceeding from the king who touches everybody's life. And when the king chooses to go into sin, as Manasseh did and Solomon here, their choice to go into sin affected the entire country. And it affected them for generations. And it destroyed multitudes, thousands of lives, thousands of souls. You see, it amplifies as it goes out, doesn't it? And in the end, you end up with a Babylonian captivity. It doesn't get better. It gets worse. That's one of the main lessons to learn from this in the Old Testament, is when they go into sin, it doesn't get better the next generation. They go into idolatry, and the next generation goes deeper into idolatry, and the next generation deeper and deeper and deeper, until it's so far away from God they ain't got a clue who He is or what His will is, until they're finally all carried away into captivity. That's what I'm talking about when I say it amplifies as it goes out in time. And it resonates. And it doesn't go down. It gets worse. Here's one simple verse. Hosea 8:7. They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. Now, the whirlwind, I take this from being in the South, and this is an Arkansas translation. Tornado is what I think of. I've been out west, I've seen the whirlwind. You know, okay. I think of this as tornado. Destruction. Because you sow the wind, you think, oh, this is not that big a deal. And then when it comes back at you, it's a tornado destroying everything. And that's how we think about sin sometimes. We think, it's not that big a deal. I'm not affecting that many people's lives. It's not going to hurt that many people. And so we go and we do something, and then we stand back in utter amazement at the consequences of how it's affecting people around us and the destruction in our lives and the lives of others. It comes back on you, amplified into a tornado. It doesn't decrease, it increases. And so that's what you've got to learn about this lesson. The spiritual collateral damage, yes, it hits those the closest to you hardest first. And then it resonates as it goes out. And then it amplifies over time. And all kinds of lives are going to be touched and destroyed and hurt by your choice to sin. So you remember the opening verse? One sinner destroys much good. Destruction. Much destruction by their choice to sin. All right. Now that I got you good and discouraged, Let's go to the other side. Spiritual collateral blessings. I want to start this part now with Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7. The righteous man will walk in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. So here's a man, rather than going into wickedness, he is making the conscious choice to follow the word of God. And by following the word of God, he is living a life of righteousness, and he's walking in righteousness. It is his lifestyle. When you choose to walk in righteousness, those who are going to be the closest to you, your family, your husband, your wife, your children, they're going to be blessed after you. I call this spiritual collateral blessings, not damage, blessings that are coming upon them because they're close to you. I cannot begin to tell you how many blessings I have experienced in my life just simply because of who I am. I am Wayne Fancher Jr. That means Wayne Fancher Sr. was my father and Mary Frances Fancher was my mother. And simply by those two facts, I've been blessed like you cannot imagine by being their son. Spiritual collateral blessings because they chose to walk in righteousness. Do you see how that works? Let's look at the next verse here. Deuteronomy 12, 28. Observe and obey all the words which I command you, that it may go well with you and your children after you. Now look at the next word. Forever. Yeah. I got grandkids too now. And you know a wonderful thing? When you choose to keep the commandments of God, it doesn't stop with your kids. It goes down to your grandkids. And then your great-grandkids. And it just keeps on going out. You see how that works? It keeps going out. And they're going to be blessed. And the word here ends with forever. Folks, forever? That's resonation a long way out, isn't it? That's amplification way out there. It's not just here. It goes on beyond here. Yeah, I'll go ahead and do it this part right now. What kind of mark are you going to leave on this world? You ever thought about that? After you're dead and gone, what kind of mark are you going to leave on this world? Let me tell you something. I got a question I want to ask all of you. I guarantee you're not ready for this question. What was the first name of your great-great-grandmother on your father's side? Or your mother's side, pick either one of them. Your great-great-grandmother, what was her first name? And you're all going, what? I don't know. All right, that's the only point I'm trying to make. Unless you're into genealogy, you don't know. Now you may be wondering, why are you asking that question, preacher? That makes no sense. The reason I'm trying to ask that question is because your great-great-grandchildren who come from you won't even know who you are. Your own flesh and blood family. They won't know who you are. You ever go to Cracker Barrel? I saw one when I was driving here. You ever go with the other there and you go in? Do they have the pictures on the wall here of the old people? That makes me sad. Because when I go to Cracker Barrel and I look on the wall, what that tells me is they didn't know who you were. Somebody in your family, you've been around so long, they had these pictures, and we inherited these pictures. We don't know who this is, but yeah, we'll sell it to Cracker Barrel. Now, what that means is your wedding pictures are going to end up on a Cracker Barrel wall one day. Because your own family is not going to know who you are. Okay, what about your possessions? I like collecting. I've been collecting since I was a little boy. And there's a thing going on in Arkansas now. I don't know if it has happening here in Nebraska, but it's called estate sales. And what happens is some people die, and the kids come and they go, We don't want this. So what do you want to do? Sell it. Just sell it all. And sometime yard sales. Now this is a true story. This happened in Texas. I was going down the country road there in Texas, and I saw a yard sale, so I got out and looked at the table, and there was an 1800 crystal bowl there. That's cut glass from the 1800s. That's valuable. And $5. And so I said, can you tell me the history behind this crystal bowl here? Oh, that belonged to my great-great-grandmother. And I said, wait a minute. This was her great-great-grandmother's. This was valuable to her. This was an heirloom. She passed down to the family. Don't you want to give it to your children? No. Don't you want to keep it? This was your great-great-grandmother's. No. You got $5 on it? Yeah. I was trying to talk her out of it. And so I said, okay. And I bought this 1800 crystal bowl for $5. I felt like going forward that week. But I learned something. Your possessions, your collections that are important to you, they're going to be in a yard sale. They're going to be in an estate sale. Those are not going to be marks you're going to leave on this world. They're not going to know you existed. Now I got you good and discouraged, hadn't I? So what kind of mark do we leave on this world? Here it is. What's that last word? Forever. The mark we leave on this world is by walking in righteousness, by keeping the commandments of God in our life. And because of that choice, our children are blessed after us. And then it continues to go out and resonate and amplify. And then it will bless them all the way through this life. Now get this, folks. And then after they die, where do they go? To be with God. For eternity. Now listen, folks. That's a mark that will last forever. By you choosing to walk in righteousness now. By you choosing to keep the commandments of God in your life. That's a mark that you will leave. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. The people of Israel were farmers and shepherds, herdsmen. And so if any of you have ever worked as a farmer, which I've worked in farming for many years, you get up before the sun does. And you're in the fields before the sun comes up. And you stay in the fields till the sun goes down. It's very hard work. And so these people were literally trying to survive, give us this day our daily bread. How do you survive as a farmer just trying to stay alive and teach your children? This verse is the answer, and it's such an important verse. You teach them diligently to your children when you're sitting in your house. When you're in your house and your kids are in there with you, okay. Turn off the screens and talk to your kids. Turn off the televisions and the video games and the iPads and all the other things. Turn them off and talk to your children about God and His Word. Start teaching them really, really, I would say, after they're born. It's about as young as you can get. And I'm serious. Play gospel music. Talk to them about God. Pray with them. Teach them. Seize the moments with them while you can. The text here, going back to it, and look at the rest of the verse, says, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. When you put your kids to bed at night, pray with them. Read scripture to them. When you're in the car, turn off the music and talk to them. It was terrible to put televisions in cars. You're going to kill people. But turn them off and talk to your children. Seize the moments. to train them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, to shape their hearts and their values and their minds, have a strong impact on them spiritually simply because you're their parents. As I told you earlier, the reason I am so blessed is because of who my parents were and the choices they made. And so the way my life is going is nothing other than I was their son. And they took time to love me and teach me. Let's continue with this, showing you this in 2 Timothy 1 and 5. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, and then your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. You see how that works? Grandma, then mom, then son Timothy. Pretty much that's the way it was with me. Grandma Jesse, son Wayne, grandson Wayne. And so I am here today because a preacher went through Mississippi a century ago and preached the gospel. And my grandmother was a Christian. She taught her son taught me. I taught my children. My children are teaching their children. You see how that works? That's a mark, isn't it? How many people do you think Timothy taught? Whoo! Man! It just keeps on getting bigger, doesn't it? It just keeps on going out. Psalm says in 37, 25 to 27, I've been young and now I'm old. Yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor is descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, I've been young. Yeah, I'm old. Okay, there it is. When you're 64, you're old. And you know what? This verse is absolutely true. If you choose to be a righteous individual, he hasn't seen the righteous forsaken. God will take care of you and provide for you. And then your descendants, there it is again, your descendants even, they're blessed after you. And there's that word again, forevermore. And that's what I want to talk to you in the last part here about. And that is again, it resonates. And it amplifies as it goes further out, the blessings do. Just like the damage gets further out and gets worse, the blessings go further out and get better because more people are being affected by it. Let me give you a verse on this from the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 1 and 2. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. The idea of casting your bread upon the water, if you don't get this concept, is it's going to come back. And the idea of sharing with seven or eight people, just keep sharing with people. Because you don't know what's coming in the future. You may find yourself in the future in hard times, and it comes back to you. Yeah, I'll go ahead and share this story with you. Years ago, when we lived in Arkansas the first time, my wife had some serious health problems. And our medical bills got just phenomenal. Even after insurance, it took everything we had just to pay the monthly medical bills. And we didn't have hardly anything left. And I'm a pretty proud guy. I wasn't telling anybody. He's kind of stubborn about that. And finally, one of the brothers of the congregation sensed that I was a little stressed out. And so he asked me what was wrong, and I told him. Just told him. And then he went to some of the other brothers in the congregation and told them. And then they got out of the phone and they started calling people saying, Wayne's in trouble. I started getting letters from people in different parts of the country that I didn't even know. I would go out to the mailbox and there would be a letter in there with no address on it, and I would open it up and there would be money in it. Cutting to the chase and the end of the story, after a month I did not have any medical bills. They came out of the woodwork. Yeah, you don't know what evil comes upon the earth and when it's going to hit you. But if you share with others and you bless others, guess what? When the bad times come, and they will, and they have now, the blessings come back on you. And they're amplified. Because your blessings as they go out are amplified. All right. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 11. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. All right. You remember the story of Joseph and Potiphar? Potiphar is a pretty sharp man. He figured out, you know, whatever Joseph does, God blesses it. And so I'm going to give you some more responsibility, Joseph. Ooh, okay. God bless that too. Here, Joseph, take care of my entire estate. Wow. Do you see what happened in Potiphar's household? He figured it out. You stand close to this guy. Just stand close to him. And get him involved in your life. And God's blessing him. And because God's blessing him, if you are close to him, God's going to bless you. It's going to spill over on you. This city here, because they had a person in it who was upright and righteous, the entire city was blessed by it. You see how it resonates out and it goes out to where everybody in the community, just because you are there, just because you live among them, the blessings flow over on them and touch their lives, and it touches their lives, the people they know, it resonates out and touches other lives. It just keeps going out, and it keeps going out. Proverbs, let's go back to it. Chapter 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Here we come back to righteousness. You remember we learned earlier about how the righteous man who walks in righteousness and his integrity, his children are blessed after him. We talked about the influence upon a city. Now we're talking about the influence upon a nation. I'm kind of a patriotic guy. If you come in my office, you'll figure it out real quick. I care about this country. I really like having freedom of religion. And yes, we are the wealthiest nation in history. I am so glad to be alive now and to be an American. I want my children and my grandchildren to know this blessing. If you are a patriotic individual and you want this nation to be blessed, you want me to tell you the best thing you can do? Be a Christian. Be the real deal. Be the light of the world. Be the salt of the earth where you are. And it will be a blessing to those around you. And it can even resonate out to the city and even beyond the borders of the city. You see, it keeps going out and touching lives you never see and never know. And it keeps spreading and spreading and spreading to where even the nation itself can be exalted by it. I'll give you one last verse on this. Mark chapter 4, 30 through 32. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs, and shoots out large branches, so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. So here again, the seed, the Word of God, the mustard plant seed. You take it and you plant it in the soil, and it starts growing. And then it starts getting bigger. And then it starts branching out. And branching out and branching out and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. What this is talking about is the work of the kingdom and the sowing of the seed of the Word of God. And if you're planting one seed, just one seed in your entire life, you need to realize that if that individual obeys the gospel, that it's going to start branching out and touching lives in many ways you'll never even see or know. I told y'all this story earlier this week, so I'll tell you again. At the beginning of last century, in the early 1900s, O.C. Lambert went through Mississippi and was preaching. And my great-grandmother, my grandmother, and my great-aunt all obeyed the gospel because of his preaching. My grandmother raised three boys by herself through the Depression in Mississippi. But all three of her boys obeyed the gospel. All three of her boys got married. And all three of her boys converted to wives. I'm just going to come down to my family now. My mom and dad have three kids. All of us have obeyed the gospel. My sister converts her husband. Their kids obey the gospel. I got three kids. They obey the gospel. Do you see what's happening? It's branching out. O.C. Lambert hadn't got a clue who I am. He's dead. He's been dead a long time. I know who he is. I'm a branch on his mustard plant. That is what I'm talking about, how spiritual collateral blessings amplify as they go further and further out. I have one story to share with you. Y'all gonna know who this is. This is actually the story of Ethel Smeltzer. Ethel Smeltzer worshiped in a congregation here in Michigan, right just next door in Michigan. One of the young ladies she worshiped with was named Olivia. And Ethel Smeltzer married a man named Herbert. That's how come her last name is Smeltzer. I knew both of these very well, very close to them. Anyhow, Ethel and Herbert Smeltzer had three sons. Herbert Smeltzer became an elder in the church. Two of their sons became preachers and two of them became elders. And then, this is Dale Smeltzer, by the way, here, y'all know him. All of the grandchildren of the Smeltzers go to church. Five of the grandsons are preachers. One is an elder. One is a deacon. And the great-grandchildren, through the son Dale, this is Dale, this is just Dale's family now. You know, we started off with Ethel and Herb Smeltzer. This is just one of their sons. By the way, Dale's right there. The one with the hat on. Looks just like his dad. Anyhow, their great-great-grandchildren, through the son, Dale, 9 out of 10 are Christians and the great-great-grandchildren. The 10th is only 13. 2 great-granddaughters married preachers. Now, if you know anything about the Smeltzers, whenever Ethel Smeltzer died, there was an audience full of elders and preachers who were her kids and her grandkids and her great-great-grandkids. And if you know anything about their work in the kingdom, they've gone everywhere from China to Czechoslovakia to hard parts of this country, planting congregations, preaching the word. There's no telling how many people out there in this world are going to be saved because Ethel Smeltzer converted her husband. And then their influence had their old children obeying the gospel. You see what's happening, don't you? Branching out, branching out, branching out. Yeah, branching out, branching out, branching out. And all the marriages of the descendants of Ethel and Herbert Smeltzer's children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, there's only been one divorce in the entire family. And that's because her husband was unfaithful. And they're all Christians. Go back to this one woman converting her husband. And as I told you, she also worshipped with a young woman there. It was in the same congregation. Her name was Olivia. Her name when she got married was Olivia Bunting. And her husband was also an elder. They had 2 sons, Tom and Bob. Both her sons became preachers. And then Tom Bunting has a son who was a preacher. And then Don's, so that his son is Don. And then Don's sons, Tim and Dan, are both preachers. And then Bob's children and grandchildren also includes elders and preachers. Now, the point I'm trying to make, these are 2 girls that happened to worship in the same congregation in Michigan. And this is what happened when both of these 2 girls worshiped together in this congregation, got married and converted their husbands. They're the ones that converted their husbands. And ain't no telling how many thousands of people on this planet are going to be saved, even in our generation, because of these two women planting the seed in their husband's heart. And then, as I pointed out to you earlier, when those individuals who have obeyed the gospel, when they finish the race in Christ, you need to understand the magnitude of this. When they rise and they are with the Lord in heaven, it is going to be eternal life forever. And that is a mark that will last for all eternity. That is why the preaching of the gospel and the sowing of the seed in the work of the kingdom is so important. It is the only mark that we will make in this world that will last. It is not going to be the memory of who we are by our family. It is not going to be our stuff. It is going to be the spiritual collateral blessings that come from our choices to walk in righteousness, to keep the commandments of God by faith in our life, that affect our family that's the closest to us, and then our grandchildren, and then our great-grandchildren, and then the people's lives that they're going to be touching, and it just keeps on going out and branching out and branching out. And it amplifies and amplifies. As I've told you before, I don't know in heaven if we're going to know one another. And if I'll even be allowed this honor, I'm assuming that O.C. Lambert's going to be there. I intend on being there. And if God would allow it, I want to meet the man and thank him for going through Mississippi and preaching the gospel. Because my being there is because of the spiritual collateral blessings that amplified through the work he did a century before I was born. So, do you see now how your choices that you're going to make in this life is not just about you? So this whole idea, well, it doesn't really matter what I do. I'm not affecting anybody. It's not hurting anybody. Well, first of all, it's hurting you. And if your life touches anybody else's life, it's hurting them. And if you're going to choose to go into sin, you're destroying your soul. You're casting a stumbling block before others around you who see you, how you're living. And you may be preventing them from coming to the Lord and being lost. And so now the destruction continues in their families as it resonates out. Oh, sin is so destructive. And it's not just us. It destroys so many people's lives around us. And so much destruction as it goes further and further out and amplifies. And so we must choose to live the life of Christianity for real, truly being the light of the world, truly being the salt of the earth, to where whoever we come in contact with, we are going to be a blessing to them because they know us. And from us being around them, we will influence them and hopefully draw them to God and help them obey the gospel and water them and encourage them and work with them and help them finish their race in Christ. You live your life to serve the Lord. You're going to bless so many people in your life. So many people are going to be blessed because of your choice to truly be a Christian. I appreciate your kind attention. If there's anybody here tonight, though, who is not a member of the body of Christ, if you actually believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you haven't obeyed the gospel yet, I want to encourage you to confess your faith. And motivated by your faith, make the great commitment of repentance. That is to follow the word of God by faith in your life. If you're willing to make the commitment of repentance, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you for the remission of your sins into the one body. If you're a child of God already and there is sin in your life, especially if it's of a public nature, please deal with it. Please realize the destruction that comes from sin, especially in a public way. Turn from it. Take it to God. Confess it to Him. Pray for forgiveness. Get up and turn from it. And start following the Word of God by faith again in your life. The blood of Christ is there still for you. God will forgive you. But please realize the impact your choices of how to live, how big of impact that's going to be able to have in the world around you. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let it be made known while we stand and sing the song that has been selected.